You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined in-house. Harrison is in my house. My house is a mess. I feel a little embarrassed by the state of everything that he is surrounded by right now. But Harrison is in my house. Harrison, how filthy does, like, do you feel that bad?
No, I don't, to be honest, because if you were to see my apartment right now, it would it is far, far worse. This is sparkling compared to my apartment. And I just felt like I need to come over because you've been having some problems with Draft Wednesday. And you've been losing like a lot. And so I thought maybe if we sat down and talked about it in person after we record, then I'd be able to maybe help you get some wins here and like stop losing so much money.
Yeah,
I'm just killing you every week. And I was like, I wanted to try and give you some tips in person.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far to say that you're killing me. But yeah, it's been a while since I got a win.
I'm just saying one of us is up. And one of us is down.
If you guys want to know like how bad the state of my house is right now, I lost the Roomba.
The Roomba is missing in action. He sent it off to clean the house, and it has not come back. But if you guys want to play Draft Wednesday with us, make sure that you do that today. And we are going to also talk about some Lakers stuff on this podcast, in addition to our trash-talking each other about fantasy basketball.
Yes. That link goes out every morning, or every Wednesday morning, and fills up really quickly. So if you guys are interested, follow Harrison at HMFagan on Twitter. He sends out the link for draft.com.
Or just follow me on Draft. If you set up an account, it's really easy. Use that promo code LOLakers and you will get a free entry for our draft.
Yep.
It'll give you like $3 to enter our draft and you can figure out whether or not you like it. If you haven't tried Daily Fantasy yet, I had not tried it before playing Draft. I've really enjoyed it so far, but I think that's partially just because I'm beating Anthony so bad every week.
Something like that. We're going to talk about basketball today.
Yes.
It's been we've talked about trade stuff early afternoon, and then we talked about Magic Johnson and reports of his work ethic and relationship with Rob Pelinka. That went over about as well as I would have predicted. That people are not particularly.
For one, am shocked that you going after a beloved figure like Magic Johnson. Yeah, probably the most beloved figure in Lakers history, not named Kobe Bryant, didn't work out well for you.
It did not. It has not gone over very well. And then subsequent tweets that I sent out that
we're not gonna get into the other tweets that you sent out. Everyone can go search those out if they would like to. We are not gonna talk about any of that on this podcast.
No, nope.
We are going to talk about what we want to see from the Lakers for the rest of the season.
Actual
on
basketball.
On the court mostly. I have one that's kind of away from the court, but on the court mostly. Do you want me to go first?
We got to tell everybody where to find the show.
Okay.
You can do that at Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, where Harrison writes, Lakers Outsiders, where I write. Harrison is at HMFagan on Twitter. I'm at Anthony Irwin LA on Twitter.
And in your hearts as well is where I like to think that the show mostly resides.
Bowels.
That too.
All right, let's go ahead. I'll start it. I think this is the most important thing that we need to see from the Lakers on the basketball court for the rest of the season. It's Lonzo Ball actually being on the basketball court for the rest of the season.
That is not what I expect you to say, but okay. Fine, we can talk about Lonzo, I guess.
Look, he makes the Lakers a different team, right? Not just because of his own talents, and we've talked about this before, but because of the people who follow him in the rotation. And I've already talked about Tyler Ennis. We don't need to go down that path again. But even guys like Alex Caruso, who is blessed.
He's become a fan favorite by not being Tyler Ennis.
But he's not
Lonzo Ball.
Yeah, he's still not quite an NBA caliber point guard, even a backup one, in my opinion. But what Lonzo brings to the court and the things that, that the rest of the guys are able to do is really important. And for a Laker team that needs to end this season with momentum, we'll get to a little bit of the larger scope stuff here in a bit. Lonzo is vital for that stuff.
And the like, obviously the Lakers can't rush him back, but the other thing is you want to see your rookie point guard playing well, especially the one that you're like clearly banking the future of the franchise on. And you, like, you want to see that guy out there on the floor. And the other thing too is, like, early on it was fashionable, and you and I have talked about this, it was like to crap on, like, oh, no, everybody says Lonzo makes everyone better, but the Lakers are worse with him on the floor. That's not even close to the case anymore. Lonzo's on-off splits have totally, like, flipped since he started shooting, like, decent, like, just not, a like, historically
just like
bad.
Just like everybody was, thought.
Yeah, was he was no longer historically bad at shooting. He was just not great at shooting. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, the Lakers are way, way better with him on the court than they are on with him on the bench. And, you know, there's other context there. He's missed some of their, like, blowout losses, but he's also, him not being there is also probably part of the reason for some of those blowouts. And he just, he has this, like, effect on the team's chemistry. And I'm as much of, like, a not really buy into the intangibles guy as anyone, or, like, I want to see it before I believe in it. Mm-hmm. But, like, I believe in it with him. Like, there is a different energy to the way this team plays when Lonzo is on the floor. There's a different pace to it. There's a different sense of urgency and a different sense of, like, it just appears to be a different sense of belief.
Well,
and
it's
like,
easier to get
the
out
guys, yeah, the guys go out there and they feel like they have a shot. And then tangibly, he's just a much better defensive option at point guard than the Lakers have otherwise. And that's the head of the snake. And the Lakers, they're making their bones on defense this year, and Lonzo helps that. Yeah. And, you know, he's not their best defensive player, but he's a good defensive player. Tyler Ennis is not. Alex Caruso is not. And that kind of leads me into my thing that I want to see,
which we're going to get to after the break.
So before I was so rudely interrupted by Anthony, my next thing that I want to see, like, going forward into the season is, you said that you didn't want to talk crap on Ennis. I just want to, again, get this out there. Tyler Ennis is just not blessed with NBA talent. And
or work ethic on the court. I don't think he works hard enough on the
court. I always, like, am hesitant to get into that with guys, because, like, some guys just don't look like they're trying hard. I don't know, like, some guy, like Lonzo, just has, like, this blank expression. Like, you wouldn't, like, think based on how he plays.
No, I don't base it off of intangible stuff. I'm saying that there are multiple times on the court where he is passive going after a loose ball, where somebody gets to it before him, or he's passive getting the ball up the court. He's too risk averse with his passes. Those kinds of things, like, that's where you would make up for not being as talented as he doesn't do that.
Yeah, that's true. But at least by the eye test. I mean, we could go into the hustle stats, but I would imagine he doesn't rank very highly on those. And I just think that the Lakers, after the trade deadline, they need to, like, give Alex Caruso the permanent call-up and just start bringing Gary Payton II along with them, or see if they can find another guy.
Yeah.
Because that's the other thing that I want to see them do. They cut Nigel Hayes, which, like, I don't think anybody's going to lose any sleep over. He didn't really show too much. You know, this is like,
he hardly saw him.
Yeah. And so obviously he wasn't showing much in practice either. Mm-hmm. They were just kind of over it. But I would like to see the Lakers continue to experiment with those 10 days. That's one of the things that you have the luxury of doing in a losing season. And you can just kind of, you can give guys run who maybe wouldn't be getting run. You can take shots on 10-day guys. And, you know, sometimes they're Nigel Hayes and sometimes they're David Nwaba. Mm-hmm. And you aren't going to know which one's the next David Nwaba unless you give another guy that shot. And so I think the Lakers just need to keep cycling through these guys until they find one that they think there's a chance could be a keeper, even if it ends up being a keeper for the Chicago Bulls. Oh,
man. I hope you're enjoying that 50 or 500K. KCP, because that kind of annoys me. But
he posted a picture of his children on Instagram today. They looked very happy. I'm sure that, like, they had, like, a nice Christmas with David, with what the Lakers would have paid
an extra 500K of gifts. That would be great if he just spent it all on the gifts that his kids got this year. That would be tremendous. All right,
I couldn't even be mad anymore if that was the case.
No.
Yeah.
No. All right. So we're gonna go ahead and move on to the next bit. I'll go now. Kuzma just has to keep being Kuz.
Like, honestly, I want to see a little more from him because he kind of hit that rookie wall a little bit lately. And I would like to see him, like, you know, he may not regain his legs until after the All-Star break. That's usually when you see these guys start to kind of get their wind back. And, like, that's when you see, like, the rookies start to break out. Like, we saw that with Ingram last year, just because there are certain teams that aren't really trying anymore. And so they have, like, a little bit of an easier path. And then that allows you to get some confidence and really get rolling. And Kuzma obviously is not a guy that lacks for confidence. But you want to see that shooting tick up a little bit again. But he has been better. I will give him credit. He's been a better playmaker and he's been a better defender lately. And so if that's why his shot is dropping off, then you can't really fault that too much.
I would say the thing with Kuzma is, look, what tends to happen with players who don't have very high expectations coming into a season is that they exceed those expectations, and then the expectations change.
Now you have to keep up with the
growing expectations.
And then you're a disappointment all of a sudden.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And for me, I want to remain even keeled about what I've seen from Kuzma this year. He has still found money with how great he has been given draft spot. I just want to see him keep being Kuzma. If he adds stuff defensively, cool. If he adds a little bit more consistency, cool. But for the most part, I thoroughly enjoy it, and I've tweeted this out multiple times this year. At least once per game, he'll make a move that you just go, what the actual hell?
Yeah, and with
footwork, with pace, with movement, whatever it is, he just does these things. So you're just like, yes, I want more of that.
And like, if it sounds like I'm being a little bit harsh on him in terms of I want to see more, I think the only reason for that is he is a little bit of an older prospect mm-hmm. as far as a rookie. And
that's
so
fair.
There's still upside. I mean, he's still like, 22, 23 years old.
Yeah.
Like, that's obviously a player who's not done growing
mm-hmm.
and who's not done getting better. And Ed, like, by all accounts, he works as hard as anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you want to see the consistency more from him than you do from a guy like Lonzo or from Ingram, who's like 19 or 20 years old,
mm-hmm.
just because he's been playing basketball longer and there is theoretically less upside for him.
There's less time to grow.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, like, you just want to see a little bit more consistency from him down the stretch. And to be honest, I think he'll do it.
I have all the faith in the world in this kid. I really believe in Kuzma at this point. So that's why I want to see more of what made me believe in the first place.
So do the Lakers. Rob Pelinka, like, had his strongest comments yet on Kuzma yesterday. At least it was the strongest I've heard from anyone on the Lakers, where he called him, like, one of their cornerstones.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's absolutely the case. I think
yep.
him, Ingram and Lonzo are that big three going forward, and they're supplemented by guys who are like kind of could be's,
mm-hmm.
like your Josh Harts, your Thomas Bryant, like those types of guys.
Speaking of Ingram, what are you expecting for him for the rest of the year? Do you have anything?
I think Ingram has shown me this year kind of what I wanted to see from him. I mean, maybe get a little bit, stop dying on screen so much. I think like coaches need to talk to him about fighting through those a little bit more, although I'm sure that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also the risk of like, you can't fix every single flaw in a player at once because you're going to give them too many things to
yep.
work on.
Golfers know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's just in any industry, you can't give information overload. Like,
mm-hmm.
like when I'm editing people at the student paper, like, and it's a really inexperienced writer, I'm not going to like mark up their whole piece and give them every single thing that was wrong with it and sit down and explain to them for 30 minutes why their piece was trash.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to give them, and all writers are trash when they start. Like, this is not me just like subtweeting someone. Yeah, everybody's terrible when they start.
I can't even read my old stuff.
I know, neither can I. And you get better. But the best editors I've ever had are the ones who gave me one thing to work on.
Mm-hmm.
And then I fix that, and then they give you the next thing to work on.
Mm-hmm.
And like, the Lakers coaches, I'm sure, are taking, to some degree, a similar approach with Ingram, where it's like, let's get this big issue figured out, and then we start working on the little nitpicky stuff, like the dying on screens and those types of things. So I want to see, maybe him start to clean up a couple of those little things on defense. But overall, especially offensively, maybe shoot a few more threes. But I'm sure that he's working on threes in practice,
mm-hmm.
and it's just not something that they're having him do a lot in games yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know. I don't have too many quibbles with Ingram. What about you?
I wouldn't necessarily say quibbles. And look, my expectations for him this year was show me an NBA skill, right? And he's shown a few of them.
I remember that. But I'm going to put you on blast for a second. We had a pod. This man tells me that he will cover for me while I go to a preseason game.
Uh-huh.
And I come back and I see a podcast titled, Does Brandon Ingram Have Any NBA Skills?
Was that the title?
Something like that.
It might have been even stronger.
Is Brandon Ingram an NBA player?
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, that's after like two preseason games. That might be your most regrettable take of all time. I'm struggling to think of a worse one.
I don't think it was after two preseason games, but
it was after like two preseason games.
In his second season.
Still.
He had a whole season by which I was making that claim.
Okay, yeah, yeah. He had a whole season and two preseason games.
Yeah,
as a 19-year-old.
Yeah.
Like one of the youngest players, the youngest player in the league last year, basically.
So I have eaten those words. I will continue to eat those words. And with respect to those expectations, and just like I said with Kuzma, right, if you keep your expectations at least somewhat consistent, Ingram has already outshone his expectations. And I don't want to go too far now to now hope that he becomes even more of that, right? Because that's a great way to get let down.
Yeah.
And so with Ingram, again, just like with Kuz, more of what we've seen this year, just more, right? And I would like to see him used a little bit more differently. Just too many of his possessions, especially with Lonzo out, are here's the ball.
Go be Kobe.
Yeah. And
but that was what got him into trouble in the preseason when you were wondering if he was an NBA player.
Well, right, because that's really effing hard to do.
It's like Coach Dad always says. He's best as a secondary attacker. That's, like, I think, the only really take that you can have on Ingram right now. I think probably the only person that doesn't believe that is probably Ingram at this point.
Yeah.
He should be confident. He should want – and if you're the Lakers, you should boost him up. You should want him to try and develop into that go-to scorer. It's just most likely he's going to be, like, a guy that is attacking secondary defenders.
Right. And so from Ingram, what I would like to see is move him off screens a little bit more, move him get him going backdoor, get him out in transition more.
He's become a much better cutter.
I got to
give him credit for that. Mm-hmm. He's become like he has a much better sense of when to cut and all of that
he's
stuff.
He's actually a pretty versatile finisher.
He's a very versatile finisher, and like he's like low key like a pretty smart player.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't get a lot of credit for it.
He has like permanent high face.
Yeah,
of course people aren't going to be thinking
that's probably a big part of it.
Yeah. But yeah, I think with Ingram, give me more of the cutting off ball stuff. Put him in better situations to succeed, and I think that'll help the rest of the Lakers tremendously. We are going to move on to Harrison's next thing right here in a second. All right, do your thing.
Yeah. So I think the other thing that I wanted to see, like I should have mentioned this when we talked about Lonzo a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see a little bit more of those Lonzo plus bench lineups. We don't need to get into this like hugely, but I think for me, like I thought that was like a good change that Luke made going like before Lonzo got injured. And I think like, I just think that maybe like sometimes there's a little bit more shooting there. So he has a little bit more room to work. And you know, I just like seeing, I like any opportunity that he has to play with Kuzma as well, because I think that those two guys are a big part of the Lakers' future, and I want to see more of them together. And see, they obviously have good chemistry. You want to see them continue to work on that. And then same thing with Ingram. You want to see all three of those guys. You want to see lineups featuring all three of those guys as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And I think if you're doing some staggering with the bench, you're able to make that happen.
Just in general, I want to see more staggering of the bench.
Yeah.
Just the idea of the hockey sub and that certain lineups only run certain sets. It would make sense. Look, I think a big part of why that was going on, and I don't know if Luke has ever answered this directly, but I think a lot of it had to do with the lack of consistency in roster makeup. And so you had to just teach what guys could learn early on, and then as the season progresses, you open up the playbook all over the place, right?
Yeah.
And so hopefully, and now we'll see how the trade deadline goes, because if they do move a big piece like Jordan Clarkson, like Julius Randle, which I'll talk about that here in a second.
One of your takeaway. Okay.
It is one of the things that I don't want to see Julius Randle move flat out. But but one of the things that I would like to see is more staggering with minutes between the bench and the starters, because that allows for more creativity. And when you're a young team and you're not as good a team, and you become predictable because teams can now, okay, we don't have to worry about this set with this certain lineup, and now we don't have to scout against it. It becomes
in the year when these scouts have had a long time to look at all your film.
Right.
Like that these guys like watch hours and hours of game film. They watch like a certain amount of game, like specific games leading up to it. Mm-hmm. Like they read your play calls. Like every single NBA player is aware of what you're trying to do on offense. It's just a matter of, can you beat them anyway? Or are they paying enough attention to the scouting report?
Or do they care enough?
Yeah. Do they pay enough attention to the scouting report in the regular season? Like a guy like Shane Battier a couple years ago probably knew literally every single action that the Lakers were going to run and like every counter that they had and everything like that. And so like that information is out there. And so if you make it even more predictable by giving them more visual cues of like, hey, this lineup only runs these three sets,
mm-hmm.
like that just makes it even easier, especially for vets.
Right. Exactly. All right. My next thing, like I alluded to a second ago,
this is actually a mutual thing that we want to see is I was going to say stand pat at the deadline.
Oh, stand pat completely.
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting. I'll let you go.
Okay. So I just think that at this point, there's not really a win now move that's out there for the Lakers to make. And there's also not a way that they, Randall and Clarkson have become so integral to the way that the Lakers are playing. There's not a way to move them without kind of harming your initial team. And the Lakers need positive momentum going into the offseason, even if they're going into these meetings with guys and they're like, well, Randall and Clarkson aren't going to be as a bird. There's a bird that wants to chime in, I guess.
Literally.
Yeah. Like Randall and Clarkson may not be back, but that doesn't take away from if the Lakers look promising with them down the stretch, then that reflects more positively on the guys that are going to be back.
Mm-hmm.
Even if maybe they weren't as big of a reason for that run as Randall and Clarkson were in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that you keep them and you ride this thing out. And, like, wins don't totally matter. Like, there are some things that, like, I'm going to sound maybe a little bit hypocritical here where I'm going to, like, some of my other takeaways. But it does matter enough that you don't want to just completely kneecap your team and like, get rid of all that positive momentum.
That's like we talked about with Avery Bradley.
Yeah.
Like, that would have completely kneecapped the team if they move Jordan Clarkson for Avery
Bradley. Clarkson, I'm less set on. Randall is the one that I'm more with you on, like, they just can't move that guy now. Like, he's got to be your backup plan in free agency, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've come around to the idea that, like, you know, there's probably very little chance that the Lakers are going to sign these two guys that they really want to sign.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, like, the way that the marketplace is shaking out. And so you want to keep, or even if you can just get Paul George, you want to keep Randall as your backup option. And the only way to do that is to not trade him.
Yep. The other thing, too, regarding the trade deadline, regarding what we're talking about here, is I get what you're saying about standing pat with guys like Clarkson, guys like Randall, whatever. But if you can make a peripheral move, if like a conditional second rounder down the stretch, years down the road, can get you, say, more shooting or something like that. I think that's
tough, though. That's like something that we can set. That's really easy for us to say.
Yeah.
But like, find me the shooter that's on the market for a conditional second rounder down the line.
I think you could probably get Marco Bellinelli for like Corey Brewer and Ivica Zubac. And I think that's a deal that the Lakers should probably really look at. Oh, man. We're actually recording this in person, and I'm actually a little concerned for my well-being. We'll move on before Harrison kills him.
He just got the Kobe Mike Brown death.
And we know how it happened to Mike Brown, too.
Yeah, Anthony's going to get fired 9 games into the podcast.
I made it longer than people thought it would.
Yeah. But,
Mike Brown.
But this whole show has made it longer than people thought it would, I think
you're right. All right, what's your next one? Because we both agreed on Randall staying. Clarkson was going to be the second half of that point. Don't just be a salary dump kind of thing. What's your next thing?
So my next thing is, it kind of goes hand, like, I want to see more Thomas Bryant. And I know that this is a guy that you also want to see more of, but I figured this is another thing that we can discuss together. I knew that this was one of your takeaways, but I think he just has shown so much promise in the G League. And I know that I just said you want to have positive momentum and you want to have wins going down the stretch, but I want to see Bryant start to get some minutes as the backup center. He doesn't have to get 20 minutes
no.
a game, find him 5 to 10 a game and let him go out there, because like the upside is a lot higher than the downside. Like, the downside is, yeah, he looks bad and maybe, you know, you'll lose a couple possessions, but the upside is that's one more guy that you can sell to free agents. Like,
mm-hmm.
look at what we got in the second round. Like,
right.
this guy is looking like he's going to be something really special.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, you talked about this, the way that he shoots. It's not
insane. It's not a big guy shot. It's not, you watch like Brook Lopez shoot. Right, and it's like a lumbering. He never hops into a shot.
It's a catapult.
It is. It's a lumbering, either step into really slowly or step out of really slowly his shot. Nance is the same way.
He's
just not capable of shooting a regular jumper. Whereas we've seen it. We've seen Thomas Bryant come up in transition, semi transition, be the trailer, hop into a shot, and make it look super clean. And we see it all the time in the G League. We saw it in an NBA game, too.
And it's like Thomas Bryant, it's like the Lopez is like a catapult. Like, mm-hmm. catapults are, they were like devastating weaponry back in medieval times. They could still do some damage, but Thomas Bryant is like a rocket launcher.
Yeah.
Like, he is just like, it's the way that he shoots is modern. The way that he plays the game is really modern. He is becoming a better passer. He can dribble a little bit. Like, we'll see at the NBA level. But, you know, I just really like what I've seen from him. And he's got, like, crazy motor. We all saw that in summer league. And so if you're limiting him to 5 to 10 minutes a game, you know he's going to go balls out that
yes.
whole time. Like, he's probably going to lose control a couple times.
He will definitely set records for fouls per 36 minutes.
And, like amount of, like, a miles run by a big man.
Yes.
And, like, in per game.
It's going to be such a difference. You bring out Lopez, and you put in Thomas Bryant. It's like,
and all of a sudden, there's just, like, a sprinter
yeah.
going back and forth. And like,
it's like going from a semi to a Ferrari.
Yeah, it's like you let your dog in from outside or something, and they're just running around the house. They're
yeah.
just really excited to be in there, and that's going to be Thomas Bryant if
yeah.
he starts to get some more minutes.
The other thing too, now we have to bring this up, right? Because if you want more Thomas Bryant, you're going to have to see less of somebody.
Lopez.
Right? See less of Lopez, or we're just out on Zubats at this point.
I don't anticipate seeing a lot of Zubats down the stretch. It's going to be either or.
So then why is he on the roster?
I think you're keeping him for next year. I think you're keeping both of those guys for next year, and you're going to let them battle it out in training camp. There's just no reason to just toss out Zubats yet. He showed like stuff last year as a rookie, as a very young rookie, and he's continued to show stuff in the G League. And so it's while it would be hard to get minutes for both of them, I think like the reason we want to get Bryant more minutes is because he's younger and because he theoretically has more upside.
Mm-hmm.
And so like if you got to pick one, that's the guy that you probably go with to get some spot minutes. But like if Brook Lopez got injured or something,
yeah.
I'd say get both of those guys in there.
So. I agree with everything you said. I don't think it's possible to disagree with a lot of the stuff that you said. But I would say, though, that, and this is a point that I've made earlier on in the season, is that this upcoming offseason, if they do want to, and we know that this is something that they want to do, even though they have walked back a lot of the stuff and they have said that they don't have to use the max contract space on whatever, but we know that at the end of the day right now, their number one priority is freeing up as much cap space as possible. And we saw Nwaba be a cap casualty for KCP. And if it comes down to Zubats being a cap casualty for a Paul George or a LeBron or whomever, then you'd like to be able to make that decision knowing a little bit more about Zubats than we know right now.
Yeah, I guess that's a fair point. I mean, I just think that, like, you know, tell me whose minutes you want to cut. Like, you want Randall in there, and he's playing a lot of center,
mm-hmm.
and the Lakers aren't just going to, like, you know, they aren't just going to cut Brook Lopez out of
nope.
the rotation. And
yeah.
so I just think that it's just tough. Like, so that's why you have the G League, and, you know, like, again, shameless plug, I got some, like, stuff coming out on Zubats talking about his role in the G League and all of that stuff dropping Thursday.
I actually do think at some point later in the season, maybe with, like, 10 games to go, they will cut Lopez from the
Yeah, with 10 Lopez. Games to go or something, like, I could see that. And, like, the thing that, like, I was talking to Zoo about this, and he just basically said that, like, he knows that he's ready to play in the NBA. He feels like the coaches know that. And it's just right now, there's just players ahead of him in the rotation.
Mm-hmm.
And he just has not been able to earn those minutes. And like, because he's got to beat out Randall and Lopez. And right now, he's not there yet. He's not better than
Nance,
those guys.
For that matter, right? I mean,
I guess in some ways, yeah. I think Randall and Lopez are the more immediate
mm-hmm.
impediments to playing time. But,
mm-hmm.
and so, like, even if he could beat out Nance, there are still those guys.
Right.
And so I think that's kind of the larger problem. It's less, like, what's wrong with him and more of what's right with those guys.
Yeah. And look, that happens sometimes, right? And what the Lakers, I think, have to be able to do is manage that situation and still get productivity from him in one way or the other, whether
yeah.
it's whether it's an asset, whether it's minutes, whatever it might be. They need to figure out a way to benefit from somebody who I think is still should still be considered a pretty talented young NBA player. I think he'll have he'll get another contract after this one.
Yeah, easily.
And so you don't want that contract to come at the cost of, well, you just gave him away for free. you know,
that's true. But if you're giving them away for free and it's because you got LeBron and Paul George, I think
then it doesn't matter.
Be upset about that.
Right.
If you give them away for free and it's because you're extending Brook Lopez on an 8-year deal and mm-hmm. re-signing KCP, then yeah, that's probably.
But it's just like Marc Gasol back when the Lakers traded for Pau Gasol. Nobody really cared.
Would it have been nice to? I heard a story like earlier this season. That and I think this is out there. I don't think that this is like me breaking news or something, but basically the Grizzlies were willing to let the Lakers pick whether they threw Sun Yue or Marc Gasol into that
Ouch.
Deal. Yeah.
Oh man.
And they just like, oops.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair,
knew what Marc Gasol was going to be, and like the Lakers were very high on Sun Yue at the time. I think a lot of people were high on Sun Yue.
He was like a 6'9" point guard who, yeah. you know, whatever.
He was the Chinese Magic Johnson. I remember somebody saying that on air on TV.
It was Sun Yue.
Yeah.
all right, so I also agree with you, and I said that I want Bryant, so I'll make my last point here. It's a larger overriding one, unless you have a more specific one.
No, mine is also larger and more. We'll close on mine.
All right, so my larger overriding thing here, and I have been one of the louder proponents of wins don't really matter, right? But they do. They do now. We are well into the season. We are past the midway point here. The Lakers do have a team that I think should be counted on to win games occasionally.
And this is also when we talked about this earlier, but teams stop trying. This is when a young team fattens up their record, mm-hmm. is at the end of the season. We saw the Lakers do this last year, mm-hmm. and like this is the time
right.
when you have to get some wins because you have motivation to win. Some other teams don't have motivation to win.
And they have a roster that I think is capable of winning when they're all healthy. Right. If Lonzo comes, so if everything that we talk about here happens and it doesn't equate to wins, then you kind of worry about what the hell's going on, right? But if Lonzo comes back healthy and you do have your full rotation for the rest of the season, then I think it's fair to expect they play 33 games for the rest of the season. I think it's fair to expect at least 15 wins.
I mean, I don't know that I expect anything. You know, from this, I've learned to not expect anything from this team.
Yeah.
I think that is fair to want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, it comes down to, it's not just from the standpoint of you're seeing productivity and development finally taking a finally meaning something in that sense, right? Because
yeah.
really, wins is what matters in professional sports, right? So not only are you seeing that, but again, it comes down to this is an extended audition across the NBA, whether it's for Paul George, whether it's for LeBron, whether it's for a guy that you would trade for, that you would want to keep happy if they do arrive in Los Angeles,
yep.
whatever it might be, the Lakers do need to at some point create some positive momentum, and the best way to do that is to win basketball games.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And so I think that kind of wraps up your point, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my final thing is, and I know that you will probably agree with this one, but I think it's probably better if I say it based on, you know, events of the past 24 hours.
Probably.
Just stop it with the stupid stuff. Like, this is going to sound weird coming from me because I'm a journalist and theoretically I should want people to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, Magic and Rob Pelinka have got to stop getting in front of a microphone and telling everybody their plan for the summer and telling everybody, you know, whether they're downplaying the summer or whether they're upplaying the summer. Just stop. Just
yeah.
stop talking about it. Go out and do it. Like, I want to see what you can do. I'm tired of hearing about, oh, we're going to have two max slots, but, oh, also, there are other things we can do with two max slots. Like, I know all that. Everyone knows all that. Stop talking about it. Stop bringing it up. Stop making it a narrative point. Like, you just need to go out and, like, show it at this point.
I'm not going to get myself in trouble. I'm not going to do it. But there's a...
No. I will bleep this if you go there.
Just ask the right damn questions, man. Like, I'm sick of.
Oh, this is not where I thought you were going.
Feeding. I'm sick of feeding them these fluffball questions so that they can talk about everything that they want to do. But at some point,
this is how the sausage factory works. Is people know that free agency gets clicked, so they ask these guys about free agency, and so they talk about free agency, and then all of a sudden, scrolling around Twitter, is Magic said this about free agency, or Rob Pelinka said that like Kentavious Caldwell Pope is going to be like mana from heaven when they re-sign him. Like I don't know. Like these guys, they keep coming out and making these hyperbolic statements about what they are or aren't going to do, and it's just not necessary. Just stop talking about it. Go out and do it. Like stop.
We can make the case it actively hurts their chances of
stop creating storylines. Like stop playing into these storylines. Like go out. Like this summer is this summer, and until then, worry about the team on the floor.
Right.
Or at least if you're, I mean, you should worry about this summer, but prepare for that silently. Like. We don't need to hit, like, it's just not good for the brand to continue to talk about it. But hey,
it's not good.
By all means, Rob Magic, I know you're listening to this. If you want to talk to me about it, I am more than happy to be a hypocrite and report on it.
I think it's not hard to make a case.
But if you're hiring me as PR and you want my advice, don't do that. If you want my, but as a journalist, please do that. Like, please talk to me.
It's not hard to make a case that it actively hurts their chances of pulling all this stuff off. Because now teams know when you call them about Jordan Clarkson, they know that they can't that Magic and Pelinka can't take salary back in order to pull all this stuff off, right? And so guess what they're going to do? They say, okay, well, we won't give you salary into this upcoming offseason, but it's going to cost you more because we know that other teams aren't going to be willing to give you that same kind of that lack of space, right? And so yes, I think just let it be, guys.
Talk about how great Lonzo is. Talk about how great, you think, like, Julius Randle has played this summer or this season. Talk about
how great Hawaii was.
Yeah, exactly. Tell us about the bomb shelter. Was that weird? Yeah. Like, what was that? I want the Magic Johnson. What was happening then? Like, somebody needs to talk to Magic.
True serum in his brain. Like if you could ask him, Magic, when you saw somebody taking a picture of you on vacation in this.
Oh no, he didn't see it. He was like on his phone.
Right, but like when you saw those tweets come down the line, were you like, oh no.
How mad were you when you realized that like somebody was like, you know what, we all are probably gonna die, but I'm gonna go fire me. Yeah.
I am mad, Jake Johnson.
He was upset, Jake Johnson.
All right, that we're going to leave before I make another.
Poor Magic. That was so messed up. Like, you two were, they thought they were going to die down there. And this guy was still, like, you know,
putting him on blast.
TMZ time. Like,
yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Poor Magic.
All right, that'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. This was a fun one. We focused on basketball for the vast majority of it. We had a little fun at the very end. Thank you to those of you who have called me all kinds of really fun names. That's been really fun. We will be
more fun names, like silly.
Yeah. Okay. Definitely was never called racist.
Oh, okay. Definitely. Yeah, that would be over the line.
Yeah, a little bit.
Please stop tweeting at me for like Rain and Anthony or like replace him or stuff. I can't do it. It's not up to me whether or not Anthony is co-host of this podcast or what he tweets. I do not get a message that's like, Anthony's about to tweet this. Do you want to hit the big red button and stop it? No, if I had that, very few of Anthony's tweets would make it.
I'd have like half as many tweets.
Probably 75, probably like 25%. I came out of physical therapy this morning. You know, my back's hurting. I was just working on, like, you know, getting my posture right. And I come out, and I just see just everybody is debating about, you know, I'm not going to get into the specifics of what they were debating. And I'm like, what in the hell happened? and I'm like, no, please no. I go to Anthony's timeline. Yup, Anthony started it. And, like, guys, I can't cool him down. I can't, like, stop him from tweeting. There's nothing I can do. I'm sorry. I'm as sorry as you are.
I mean, I guess next time I'll stick to tweeting out Rob Pelinka's 3.9 GPA and his love for AP Calc.
Please do.
I'll do that. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll be back at it. We'll actually have actual basketball to talk about because the Lakers are going to be
finally
playing.
They're
going to
play again. I think it's been a while. It's been like 9 days.
Feels.
I think it's only been like four.
It has felt like forever.
It's been too long.
But yes, we'll have actual basketball to talk about tomorrow.
No, wait. They played on Sunday. Man, we're washed.
I mean, given
that was like 900 podcasts ago.
Given, yes, actually,
yeah,
that might be it.
Yeah,
I've recorded 5 podcasts in the last 24 hours. So
this blog life ain't easy.
People working like coal mines right now hate us.
Listening to us on their earbuds,
yes,
while in coal mines. Yes,
go F yourself.
Do they even mine coal still? Is that a thing?
I'm not gonna make the joke I was about to make. Have a good one, everybody.